not Bhavana love, traveling to recite two or three verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the aim of our consciousness moment. They must begin to karma kinga jiva ti. Read that verse.
Karma kinga jiva ti, vastra kinga sasantyuka, nakatanti namehanti king krame patabho pare. Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The materialistic man of the modern age will argue that life, or part of it, is never meant for discussion of theosophical or theological arguments. Life is meant for the maximum duration of existence, for eating, drinking, sexual intercourse, making merry and enjoying life. The modern man wants to live forever by the advancement of material science, and there are many foolish theories for prolonging life to the maximum duration. But the Srimad Bhagavatam affirms that life is not meant for so-called economic development, or advancement of materialistic science for the hedonistic philosophy of eating, mating, drinking, and merrymaking. Life is solely meant for tapasya, for purifying existence, so that one may enter into eternal life just after the end of the human form of life. The materialists want to prolong life as much as possible because they have no information of the next life. Therefore, they want to get the maximum comforts of life only in this present life, thinking conclusively that there is no life after death. This ignorance about the eternity of the living being and the change of covering in the material world has played havoc in the structure of the modern human society. Consequently, there are many problems multiplied by various plans of modernized man. The plans for solving the problems of society have only aggravated the troubles. Even if it is possible to prolong life more than 100 years, advancement of human civilization does not necessarily follow. The Bhagavatam says that certain trees live for hundreds and thousands of years. At Vrindavana there is a tamarind tree. The place is known as Imlitala, which is said to be existing since the time of Lord Krishna. In the Calcutta Botanical Garden, there is a banyan tree said to be older than 500 years. And there are many such trees all over the world. Swami Shankaracharya lived only 32 years, and Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years. Does it mean that the prolonged lives of the above-mentioned trees are more important than Shankar or Chaitanya? Prolonged life without spiritual value is not very important. One may doubt that trees have life because they do not breathe, but modern scientists like Bosch have already proved that there is life in plants, so breathing is no sign of actual life. The Bhagavatam says that the bellows of the blacksmith breathes very soundly, but that does not mean that the bellows has life. The materialist will argue that life in the tree and life in the man cannot be compared because the tree cannot enjoy life by eating palatable dishes or by enjoying sexual intercourse. In reply to this, the Bhagavatam asks whether other animals like the dogs and hogs living in the same village with human beings do not eat and enjoy sexual life. The specific utterance of Srimad Bhagavatam in this connection regarding other animals means that persons who are simply engaged in the matter of planning a better type of life consisting of eating, breathing, and mating are also animals in the shape of human beings. A society of such polished animals cannot benefit suffering humanity, for an animal can easily harm another animal, but rarely do good. Svavid Bahastra Karai Shamstita Pushapashu Natyatkara Patopeto Jatunam Gadagraja. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The general mass of people, unless they are trained systematically for a higher standard of life in spiritual values, are no better than the animals. And in this verse they have been particularly put on the level of the dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Modern university education practically prepares one to acquire a dogish mentality, to accept the service of a greater master. Like the dogs, after finishing a so-called education, the so-called educated persons move from door to door with applications for some service, and mostly they are driven away, informed of no vacancy. As the dogs are negligible animals and serve the master faithfully for bits of bread, similarly one serves a master without sufficient rewards. Persons who have no discrimination in the matter of foodstuff and who eat all sorts of rubbish are compared with the hogs. Hogs are very much attached to eating stools. So the stool is a kind of foodstuff for a particular type of animal. And even the stones are edible by a particular type of animal or bird. But the human being is not meant for eating everything and anything, save grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, sugar, and so forth. Animal food is not meant for the human being. For chewing solid food, the human being has a particular type of teeth, meant for cutting fruits and vegetables. The human being is endowed with two canine teeth as a concession for such persons who will eat animal food at any cost. It is known to everyone that one man's food is another man's poison. Human beings are expected to accept the remnant of food offered to Lord Sri Krishna, and the Lord accepts foodstuff from the categories of leaves, flowers, fruits, etc. No animal food is offered to the Lord as prescribed by Vedic scriptures. Therefore, a human being is meant to eat a particular type of food. He should not imitate the animals to derive so-called vitamin values. Therefore, a person who has no discrimination in regard to eating is compared with the hogs. The camel is a kind of animal which takes pleasure in eating thorns. Similarly, a person who wants to enjoy family life or the worldly life of so-called enjoyment is compared with the camel. Materialistic life is full of thorns. So one should live only by the prescribed method of Vedic regulations, just to make the best use of a bad bargain. Life in the material world is maintained by sucking one's own blood. The central point of attraction for material enjoyment is sex life. To enjoy sex life is to suck one's own blood. And there is not much more to be explained in this connection. The camel also sucks its own blood while chewing the thorny twigs. The thorns that the camel eats cut the tongue of the camel, and so blood begins to flow within the camel's mouth. The thorns, mixed with fresh blood, create a taste for the foolish camel, and so he enjoys the thorn-eating business with false pleasure. Similarly, the great business magnates, industrialists who work very hard to earn money by different ways and questionable means, eat the thorny result of their action, mixed up with their own blood. Therefore, the Bhagavatam has situated these diseased fellows along with the camels. The ass is another animal who is celebrated as the greatest fool even amongst the animals. The ass works very hard and carries burdens of the maximum weight without making profit for itself. Human life is meant for earning values. This life is called Adityadam, or that which can deliver values. And what is the greatest value of life? It is returning home back to Godhead, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita. One's selfishness must be aimed at the point of going back to Godhead. The ass does not know his self-interest, and it works very hard for others only. Similarly, a person who works very hard for others only, forgetting his personal interest available in the human form of life, is compared to the ass. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana it is said, Asitim Chaturascharva Lakamstam Jiva Jantasu Brimat Mi Purushai Praknam Manushyam Janma Paratajat Parapya Bhalatam Jata Desam Atma Vihmaninam Barakhanam Anasritya Govinda Charana Bhayam. The human life is so important that even the demigods in the higher planets sometimes aspire after a human body on this earth, because in the human body only can one easily go back to Godhead. And in spite of having obtained such an important body, if one does not re-establish his lost eternal relation with Govinda, Lord Krishna, he is certainly a fool who has forgotten his self-interest. This human form of material body is obtained by a gradual process of evolution of one body after another in the cycle of 8,400,000 varieties of life. And the poor man, forgetting this importance for his own interest, involves himself in so many illusory engagements for uplifting the position of others as leader of political emancipation and economic development. There is no harm in trying for political emancipation or economic development, but one should not forget the real aim of life. All such philanthropic activities must be dovetailed to returning to Godhead. One who does not know this is compared to the ass who works only for others without their or his own welfare in mind. The ass is generally engaged by the washerman, whose social position is not very respectable. And the special qualification of the ass is that it is very much accustomed to being kicked by the opposite sex. The ass, when he begs for sexual intercourse, is kicked by the fair sex, yet he still follows the female for such sexual pleasure. A henpecked man is compared, therefore, with the ass. The general mass of people work very hard, especially in the age of Kali. In this age, the human being is actually engaged in the work of an ass, carrying heavy burdens and driving tela and rickshaws. The so-called advancement of human civilization has engaged the human being in the work of an ass. The laborers in great factories and workshops are also engaged in such burdensome work. And after working hard during the day, the poor laborer has to again be kicked by the fair sex, not only for sex enjoyment, but also for so many household affairs. So, Srimad Bhagavatam's categorization of the common man without any spiritual enlightenment into the society of the dogs, hogs, camels, and asses is not at all an exaggeration. The leaders of such ignorant masses of people may feel very proud of being adored by such a number of dogs and hogs, but that is not very flattering. The Bhagavatam openly declares that a person, although a great leader of such dogs and hogs disguised as men, may have no taste for being enlightened in the science of Krishna. Such a leader is also an animal and nothing more. He may be designated as a powerful, strong animal or a big animal, but in the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is never given a place in the category of man on account of his atheistic temperament. Or in other words, such godless leaders of dogs and hog-like men are bigger animals with animal qualities in greater proportion.
So, anatta usmum sakha bhakti yogam padokkade lokasya kalyanatha vidyan chakre sakratha sanghita. Anatta, we living entities, we are part and parcel of God. Mamaivam sujiyo. Somewhere or other, we are now born in this material condition. And we are changing body. This is the first instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. There are so many commentators on Bhagavad Gita that nobody has pointed out what is the real business of Bhagavad Gita. The real business is, as Krishna says in the beginning of his teaching, dehi-nasmin-yathā-dehi-tomāra-yoga-nagajara tathā-dehāntaram-prāpti vīra-sgatta-namuñyati. This is the first instruction, that we are changing body on account of the spirit soul. And when the spirit soul changes, we are changing every day, every moment, our body. I was a child, you were a child, we have not changed our body. Similarly, now I am old man, some of you are also old man. We have to change the body. So what kind of body we are going to have, what change is going to take place, there is no knowledge. So, at least in India, this condition should be changed. To keep people in ignorance of this bodily concept of life. I belong to this community, I belong to that community, I belong to this body, I belong to that body. No, they should be educated to become Brahma-bhūta. Brahma-bhūta prasannātmā nasojati nakāṁ kutti samasadvīṣu-bhūteṣu madhavati-bhavateṣu samasadvīṣu-bhūteṣu. India's education is not to distinguish that here is an English man, here is a German, here is a Christian, here is a Hindu, here is a Muslim. Samasadvīṣu. Because India's realization of knowledge is Brahmānubhūti, Brahmābhūta. Then, when one comes to the standard of Brahmābhūta knowledge, he'll be happy. It is not possible, of course, to realize Brahmā by everyone. That is not possible. But there must be an ideal in institution. Unfortunately, at the present moment, it is very difficult to find out where is that ideal Brahman. But there must be. Krishna said, our Krishna consciousness movement includes it. That chatupannam maya system gunakarma vibhava. There must be division. There may be only a few number of Brahmanas, but that must be ideal Brahmana, so that people may learn that here is the first class man. Here is the first class man, let us take instruction from him, not from so-called politicians. This is Indian civilization. Don't think formally in Lord Ramchandra, who was the king, he is God himself. Still, he used to consult learned Brahmins, sages, saintly persons for governmental duty. The division must be there. So there are so many things to be done in Krishna consciousness movement. Don't take it that it is simply chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna chanting is the prime factor. Because if you chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then gradually everything will be clear in your mind. Teto Dattvana Mahajanam Bhava Mahadabhani Nibbhavan. Old world is suffering on account of all contaminated things accumulated within our heart. So the Bhagavad process is to hear from the right person, Sinnadam Savata Krishna Punna Savana Kitana Riddhantasya Avatrani Vidhunati Suhit Satam. So our request to all of you is to take this movement of Krishna consciousness chanting very seriously. Don't neglect it. This is the India's gift to the whole of the world. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Bhara bhumite hoira manusya janmaja. Janma sarthak kari karo paropokar. India's mission is paropokar. Not to exploit others, but to do good to others. And what is the best thing to do? Because a human being, although he has got the opportunity to understand his position, he is kept into darkness that he is like animal. And his only business is how to eat, how to sleep, how to live. This kind of ignorance, at least in India, we should not think of. Let us combine together. That is my request. Take it very seriously. In America, they are not taking it seriously. And as you know, recently there is a judgment by the Supreme Court in New York. They admitted that Hare Krishna movement is genuine religious movement. There is a great opposition against this movement. Our students were being kidnapped, and so many harassments were going on. But by the grace of Krishna, I went to America in 1965, and now it is 77. After 11, 12 years of struggle, I was loitering in the street, who cared for me? But it is now being recognized that here is a movement. Now we have to utilize. I always put this logic to my students, Anga Pongonna, that for the benefit of the whole world, American money and Indian culture should combine. That will bring benefit to the whole world. The opportunity is there. Now let our Indian leaders come out, take this movement very seriously. There will be great advantage to the people of the whole world. This kind of situation, to keep them in darkness, that I am dog, I am hawk, I am American, I am Indian. No, I am Brahmasmi. This is real conception of life. What is the difference? If a bulldog thinks that I am a bulldog, and if a man thinks I am American or I am brown, what is the difference? The real thing is knowledge. So don't keep this knowledge locked up in your book, but spread it. My only request is the leaders of India should now come forward and join this movement and take this advantage of doing good to the whole world. Paropoka. Parabhumite manusya janma haivara. Janma sarthak kari karo paropoka. Thank you very much.
request you to ask them now. So please, a lot of information has been presented, a lot of food for thought. So this is a very important movement, very important subject matter. So we request any of you who have any question at all to please put that question, and we can have further discussion. Come here and ask the question in the microphone. Please come forward and ask a question. Here. Who will be the first? Asking questions is a sign of intelligence.
What is the most important thing in life?
The question is, what is the most important thing in life?
To understand yourself. If you misidentify yourself, that you are this body, then you are finished. However, most important, the question should be, what I am I in this body or something else? That is the most important thing. That is the beginning of Vedanta Sutra knowledge. Tathāpanam. The animal cannot ask whether I am dog or I am something else. And if the animal, the man is kept into darkness, that he has no question whether I am this or that, then he is animal. So the most important thing according to our belief, culture, is to understand oneself, what I am. Do you think that you are not taxed? Why should you not be taxed for the proper gain? You are being taxed for so many nonsense things. Why not be taxed for the proper thing? That is injury.
What is the importance of health in life, and how does Guruji advise people to keep maintain health, and how does it connect to your ambition?
Where is health? First of all, you have to understand that however healthy you may be, you must die. One problem you have solved. Janma-mitya-dhyaya-dhyaya-dhukha-dosa-anadasa. Krishna says, it is not my manifestation. However you may try to remain very healthy, nature's law is that you must die. How you can help yourself? After all, you have to meet death. Janma mitu jara bhaya. So long you have got this material body, there is no question of health. You must suffer. You may be very good scientist in every year, but the nature's law must act. Prakite kramarani guni karmani sarvas. Aham karam yuratma tatta aham iti manate. Foolish person, aham karam yuratma, bewildered by false civility. He's thinking, I'm improving health, I'm improving this and this. He's improving nothing. He is completely under the clutches of material nature. He cannot act anything independently. That is the law of Krishna.
May I know the distinction between Krishna consciousness and supramental consciousness described by Sri Aurobindo?
Yes, Krishna consciousness means super consciousness. Krishna, you are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna says, Mavimam Udhivam. Just like father and son. Father knows he is my son. And the son knows he is my father. So this father, paternal consciousness, is there. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is real consciousness. That you follow it with other consciousness, that is polluted. So, this is consciousness movement means to purify your consciousness. Sarvabhadi vinimuktam, satvartena, nirmalam. Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate.
When you become free from all designations of this world, sarva upadhi meaning moksha, tat paratena nirmala, and you become purified without any contemplation in Krishna consciousness, then your real business, real life begins.
Can we solve political problems with this religious basis?
Yes, all problems will be solved if we become Krishna conscious.
What is the simple solution to understand soul? I would like to understand soul in a simplified form.
This is very simple. And we are educated so foolishly that we cannot understand. This is our duty. Krishna says, Mumira Bhana Lavagu Khanamana Buddhi Devas Vinnami Pratiti Vaskada. Arjun, there are 8 material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. Aparayam, that these are inferior elements. Because to vidhine paritin para, beyond this, there is another superior element. What is that? Jiva bhuta mahabhava, jayidam dhatati. The living entity is superior element. Without the living entity, what is the value of this bhumi abho anarabha? This distinction we can experience every day. Here is an important man. Now he is finished. And if he kick on step, he won't protest. What is the one thing? That Jiva Bhuta Mahabhava, that living force, is one thing. Anyone, any child can understand that something is one thing. Therefore, this important body is nothing but a lump of matter. Anyone can understand. Everything is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. But we are not serious to understand. That is it. Pity.
Can the Janata explosion be regarded as a dividend of Krishna consciousness or similar consciousness?
You cannot have everyone to become Krishna conscious. That is not possible. It is not so easy. Manasaranam sahasreshu kasti jatati siddhaye jatatamati siddhyanam kasti vetrimam par. It is very, very difficult. But at least there must be one section of people who understand Krishna so that people may take advantage of their position.
The first slope of the Bhagavad Gita says, Dharma-kshetre, Kuru-kshetre, Samaveta, Yuvutsavaha, Mamaka, Pandava-stheja, Kim Purvata-sanjaya. I ask you, Prabhu, what is that Dharma-kshetra and Kuru-kshetra?
Dharma-kshetra, everyone knows. Kuru-kshetra is still Dharma-kshetra, everyone goes there for religious performances. That is the difficulty. Why you make it difficult? In Chandra-gahan, in Surya-gahan, hundreds and thousands of people still go there. This is Dharma Kshetra. In the daily Kinjansha, it is said, Kuru Kshetri Dharma Bhakjaya. When you want to perform religious ritualistic ceremony, go to Kuru Kshetra. The Kuru Kshetra is still there. The place is there. The station is there. And it is mentioned in the Vedas. It is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Where is the difficulty? Why you create difficulty? It is your fault. That's clear difficulty. Otherwise, Kurukshetra is Dharma Kshetra. Please, time immemorial. That's all. Now chant it.
Jai Sri Rama Rupa.
So we're continuing our reading
From the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 3rd Chapter, Pure Devotional Service, the Change in Heart. Bile Bhatodu Krama Bikramanje Nasrimbata Kanapute Narasya Jivasati Dardurikeva Sutha Nacho Bhagayati Urugaya Gatha. One who has not listened to the messages about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead, and has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord, is to be considered to possess ear holes like that of a snake, and a tongue like that of the frogs. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Devotional service of the Lord is rendered by all limbs or parts of the body. It is the transcendental, dynamic force of the spirit soul. Therefore, a devotee is engaged 100% in the service of the Lord. One can engage in devotional service when the senses of the body are purified in relation with the Lord, and one can render service to the Lord with the help of all senses. As such, the senses and the action of the senses are to be considered as impure or materialistic as long as they are employed in sense gratification only. The purified senses are engaged not in sense gratification, but in the service of the Lord in toto. The Lord is the supreme with all senses, and the servitor who is part and parcel of the Lord also has the same senses. Service of the Lord is the completely purified use of the senses as it is described in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord imparted instructions with full senses, and Arjuna received them with full senses, and thus there is a perfect exchange of sensible and logical understanding between the master and the disciple. Spiritual understanding is nothing like an electrical charge from the master to the disciple, as it is foolishly claimed by some propaganda mongers. Everything is full of sense and logic, and the exchange of views between the master and disciple is possible when the reception is submissive and real only. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that one should receive the teaching of Lord Chaitanya with intellect and full senses, so that one can logically understand the great mission. In the impure state of a living being, the respective senses are fully engaged in mundane affairs. If the ear is not engaged in the service of the Lord by hearing about Him in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam, certainly the holes of the ear will be filled up with some rubbish. Therefore, the messages of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam should be preached all over the world very loudly. That is the duty of a pure devotee who has actually heard about them from the perfect sources. Many want to speak something to others, but because they are not trained up to speak on the subject matter of Vedic wisdom, they are all speaking nonsense, and the people are receiving them with no sense. There are hundreds and thousands of sources for distributing mundane news of the world, and people of the world are also receiving them. Similarly, the people of the world should be taught to hear the transcendental topics of the Lord, and the devotee of the Lord must speak loudly so that they can hear. The frogs loudly croak, with the result that they invite the snakes to eat them. The human tongue is especially given for chanting the Vedic hymns and not for croaking like the frogs. The word asati used in this verse is also significant. Asati means a woman who has become a prostitute. A prostitute has no reputation for good womanly qualities. Similarly, the tongue, which is given to the human being for chanting the Vedic hymns, will be considered a prostitute when it is engaged in the matter of chanting some mundane nonsense. Para param pata kirita justam apiyutamangam na namen mukundam shabo karona kurute sapar jam hare lasat kanchana kang konova. The upper portion of the body, though crowned with a silk turban, if not bowed down before the personality of Godhead, who can award mukti or freedom, is a heavy burden only. And the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles, if not engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead Hari, are like those of a dead man. Purport, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, as stated herein before, there are three kinds of devotees of the Lord. The first class devotee does not see at all anyone who is not in the service of the Lord. But the second class devotee makes distinctions between devotees and non-devotees. The second class devotees are therefore meant for preaching work, and as referred to in the above verse, they must loudly preach the glories of the Lord. The second class devotee accepts disciples from the section of third class devotees or non-devotees. Sometimes the first class devotees also come down to the category of the second class devotee for preaching work. But the common man, who is expected to become at least a third class devotee, is advised herein to visit the temple of the Lord and bow down before the deity, even though he may be a very rich man or even a king with a silk turban or crown. The Lord is the Lord of everyone, including the great kings and emperors, and as such, rich men in the estimation of mundane people must therefore make a point to visit the temple of Lord Sri Krishna and regularly bow down before the deity. The Lord in the temple, in the worshipable form, is never to be considered to be made of stone or wood, because the Lord in His Archa incarnation as the deity in the temple shows immense favor to the fallen souls by His auspicious presence. By the hearing process, as mentioned herein before, this realization of the presence of the Lord in the temple is made possible. As such, the first process of hearing in the routine work of devotional service is the essential point. Hearing, by all classes of devotees, from the authentic sources like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is essential. The common man, who is puffed up with his material position and does not bow down before the deity of the Lord in the temple, or who defies temple worship without any knowledge of the science, must know that his so-called turban or crown will only succeed in further drowning him in the water of the ocean of material existence. A drowning man with a heavy weight on his head is sure to go down more swiftly than others who have no heavy weight. A foolish, puffed-up man defies the science of God and says God has no meaning for him. But when he is in the grip of God's law and is caught up by some disease like cerebral thrombosis, that godless man sinks into the ocean of nescience by the weight of his material acquisition. Advancement of material science without God consciousness is a heavy load on the head of human society. So one must take heed of this great warning. The common man, if he has no time to worship the Lord, may at least engage his hands for a few seconds washing or sweeping the Lord's temple. Maharaj Pratraparudra, the great powerful king of Orisha, was always very busy with heavy state responsibilities, yet he made it a point to to sweep the temple of Lord Jagannath at Puri once a year during the festival of the Lord. The idea is that however important a man may be, he must accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. This God consciousness will help a man even in his material prosperity. Maharaj Pratapurudra's subordination before the Lord Jagannath made him a powerful king, so much so that even the great Patan in his time could not enter into Orisha on account of the powerful Maharaj Pratapurudra. And at last, Maharaj Pratapurudra was graced by Lord Sri Chaitanya on the very grounds of his acceptance of subordination to the Lord of the universe. So, even though a rich man's wife has glittering bangles made of gold on her hands, she must engage herself in rendering service to the Lord.
Thank you.